League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
People say I am the best boss.
You can find us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and call in at 1-800-777-2907. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Great to be with you, the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson.
Likewise, David.
So we are broadcasting from Houston, Texas, which has suddenly become not just the home of the World Series champs, but the city of romance.
Oh, goodness. No kidding.
Yes. Carlos Correa with a very public proposal. And then, of course, Justin Verlander and Kate Upton getting married. Big deal. I mean, a lot of romance on that Astros team. A lot of love. But the question on the table is, would you have wanted to receive a proposal in that kind of limelight? Look, Correa, with all the world watching, in the post-game celebration, he turns and he proposes to his girl. That's a pretty big, visible moment. Would you have wanted that?
Personally, no.
Okay.
It's such a personal... I mean, that's one of the biggest deals that can happen in a woman's life. And I just don't want millions of people watching.
Well, now, she is a former Miss Texas, right? So she's correct. Used to being on stage. She's used to being in the limelight.
She is. That's very true. And she didn't seem like she minded one single bit.
She actually seemed very, very happy.
Yes, and that ring, I'm sure, made her extra happy. But, you know, what I didn't love about it, I thought it was a sweet moment. Clearly, they're young and love, and this is all going to be wonderful. But there's, like, a bunch of other guys that just won a World Series, and George Springer, you know, starting out so tough in the beginning of the Dodgers series, ends up with the MVP, and I felt like it just kind of took a little bit of shine off of that.
Well,
they shared the moment. They shared the moment.
They shared the moment. I guess from my perspective, these are two really big, exciting things, a World Series championship and a proposal.
Huge.
I might want to separate them out a little bit.
Right.
I might have even said the same about Justin Verlander and Kate Upton. Now, they planned their wedding way in advance. Mm-hmm. Obviously, who would have known, mm-hmm. right? But I think in the ideal, Verlander could have done the World Series championship, come home, celebrated the parade, and then maybe gotten married a few weeks later. That back-to-back timing was really tough.
But, you know, he was such a late add to the Astros, you know, in the August 31st.
Yes, how could he have known?
Right, how could he have known? So I love that he didn't waste any time. I'm sad he missed the parade, but, you know, great for them.
When we come back next segment, we're going to talk to a woman who loves the Astros so much. Her name is Vanessa Astros. You're listening to The Boss and Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. Monday Night Football underway at Lambeau Field, and we have a man on the ground, Chuck Friedman. Chuck, give us an update.
Well, Detroit leads this game 7-0, 9:37 to go here in the second quarter. Lions scored in the first quarter, Matthew Stafford to Marvin Jones, a 25-yard touchdown pass, 9 plays, 71 yards. On that drive, the Packers kept that drive alive. Mike Daniels with an unsportsmanlike penalty on a 3rd and 14. The Packers defense would have been off the field, but kept the drive alive. And then Stafford eventually completing the 25-yard pass. Lions had a chance to add to that lead here in the second quarter, but Matt Prater hit the crossbar on a 55-yard field goal attempt. Brett Hundley, the Packer quarterback, making his second NFL start, plays with the injured Rodgers. So far, the Packers being very conservative with their play calling. 7 of 10 passing for Hundley with just 27 yards. Very short passes, screen passes, nothing downfield so far. Just one attempt downfield that was incomplete. So here we are, second quarter, 9:37 to go, and the Lions have the ball back on a 1st and 10 at their own 8-yard line, and the Lions lead at 7-0 on Green Bay.
That's Chuck Friedman. Chuck, thanks so much for the update. And who would have thought it? The better quarterback on the field is the quarterback on the Detroit Lions. With Aaron Rodgers out, it is Matt Stafford.
Still not much of a score, so it's early. We'll see if anyone can break that thing open.
It's really an important NFC North matchup. Well, earlier today, I had a chance to visit with the Director of Communications at the Houston Symphony. Now, she's notable for a number of reasons, and many of them will become apparent in this interview. But perhaps the most important reason at the moment is that her name is Vanessa Astros.
You cannot make that stuff up.
No, her last name is Astros. Have you ever met anybody with the last name Astros?
I have not until today.
Well, there are some that have accused her of changing her name. You can go to court and you can change your name. And apparently people are all over the city considering changing their name to Astros. But Vanessa has been an Astro all her life.
I love it.
So let's hear what we had to learn from Vanessa Astros. Well, this is going to be a fun segment because joining us now here on SB Nation Radio is Vanessa Astros. She is the Senior Director of Communications for the Houston Symphony here in Houston. And it was interesting, before we got on the air, I told she was joining the show, The Boss and The Gloss. I said I was the boss, and she said you were ready to be the gloss.
Of course. I thought I was the gloss.
Well, you've got a lot of gloss, but there's only one gloss, and she's here next to me, Carla. But you have a very, very interesting name. You are Vanessa Astros.
I'm it. I'm the Astros girl, the original one.
This is legit. You didn't just switch your name in the last week.
It's extremely legit, although people question that oftentimes. But it's on my driver's license. I can prove it. It's been fun being in Houston since 2002 because of that. I've made a lot of friends along the way. And now that they're World Series champs, I feel like a champ. So this has been fun.
Well, you are a champ, and so welcome in.
Thank you.
Just to be clear, you are married, but Astros is your maiden name.
It is my maiden name.
And you wisely kept it.
I wisely kept it. Now, number one reason why I kept it is because I've been in PR for so long.
Sure.
So my media contacts know me as Vanessa Astros. My former reporter friends know me as Vanessa Astros. But then it is a cool name, and my husband agreed. He's a good sport. He said, I get it. So legally, I am Vanessa Astros Young, but...
Well, I think we're at the point now where your husband should change his name.
Thank you.
If he's listening, just know that I have given this shout out on your behalf.
Thank you. And we have your permission to do that?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Because his business associates have been telling him that. So I think it's time.
Well, particularly now in light of the Astros' big win.
Yep.
Just tell me now, Astros, what is the origin of that name? What sort of nationality?
So I am from Venezuela.
Yes.
From Caracas, Venezuela. But we think it's French. We did some unofficial investigations, and it looks like it comes from France. So it's a nice mixture, I guess.
Fantastic. So everywhere you go around town, people are sort of envious. They want your last name.
Absolutely. I was at the mall just this past weekend, and I was doing a return, and when they saw my name, I swear the cheers and everybody erupted in cheer. Go Astros! It was fun.
So we are speaking to Vanessa Astros. She's the Senior Director of Communications for the Houston Symphony. And notably, the symphony is sort of a community treasure. It's an asset for the city of Houston. And so you have been on the front lines of this extraordinary turn of events in the city. Walk us through, what has it been like to go through the devastation of Harvey and now the elation of an Astros victory?
Yeah, you know, it's like you say, we're a cultural service provider, so this is what we do for a living. We make music for a living. We put on great music, and we bring world-class musicians on stage and to Houston. So for us to see the Houston go through so much pain and suffering, and for us to be affected ourselves, you know, our hall was flooded, our parking garage where our patrons park was flooded. So that was, it hurt. A lot of our musicians' homes were flooded.
Yes, so Jones Hall was flooded.
Yes.
And really inoperable for a few weeks.
Yeah, it was inoperable for a few weeks. We had to cancel concerts. We had to relocate other concerts to Rice University. We had another concert or program at the University of Houston, the Collin Center. So it was challenging logistically. There was a lot to communicate to patrons to make sure that they knew where they were going. But here we are, you know, we are resilient as a city, and I think that has shown. And then our Astros world, this victory home, and he just kind of validated and reinforced what we already knew, that this is a great city.
Well, I don't know if you saw the article by Ken Hoffman on culturemap.com here in Houston, but basically he said the Astros team embodied the city because the Astros team was so diverse, so resilient, and had a great deal of fortitude, and certainly the city has displayed that coming out of Harvey.
Absolutely. We've all come together. We had staff, people from the front office go to musicians' homes to help tear down walls and help out with the cleanup efforts. So this has been amazing. It's sad. And obviously, there's still people who are affected and who are still rebuilding their homes. But this just shows that we're a great city. We're entrepreneurial. We're diverse. And we have great sports teams. I mean, the Dynamo, it's also doing very well right now. So kudos to them as well. I used to work for them. So I'm excited for them and hope that we can make it as far as the Astros did.
We are speaking to Vanessa Astros, who is the Senior Director of Communications for the Houston Symphony and also happens to have... Well, the best last name in the city of Houston, Vanessa Astros. Now, were you part of the parade? Did you enjoy the full regalia that took place with the victory?
Yes. So the Houston Symphony was amazing. They actually sent out an email and said, we are closing at 12:30, so you all can go and enjoy the celebrations. So we are perfectly situated in downtown. So we just walked to Milam and Walker. We had a tent. We were giving away swag and orange gear because that's our colors too. So we ended up working, but we just had a blast. It was actually a great time.
Well, it was a blast, a great week for the entire city of Houston. It's been a blast to have you here. Thank you, Vanessa Astros, Senior Director of Communication for the Houston Symphony. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Boy, I could just listen to her voice all day. She got a lovely voice and accent to her,
and
doesn't she?
She is lovely.
She is lovely in person as well.
That's right.
And she's from the same place as Justin Verlander. I mean, I've checked that. Jose Altuve from Venezuela.
Her beauty has completely fogged.
I know. And I'm all flustered. That beautiful Venezuelan accent.
Yes,
I mean, she's,
exactly.
And the last name. I mean, she had the whole thing.
She's the whole package.
Vanessa whole Astros. Package.
Absolutely. Yeah, she was great. And I loved her enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. So big, big fan. Now, looking more and more time at the Astros, the thing that
does
was...
Does it only have to be one more
Well,
time?
The fun thing about that team is all... I think much of the country didn't really know this team. Didn't I mean, who the heck is Charlie Morton, right? Nobody knew who Charlie Morton was, and there he was in Game 7.
What do you know? I mean, he's the hometown hero. Charlie Morton's story is such a good one. He was drafted. I didn't realize this. So in Game 7, you know, the final four innings he took care of for the Astros.
Yep.
Brought him the World Series championship. And Brian McCann was the catcher. He and Brian McCann were drafted together in 2002 to the Atlanta Braves. They both went. So he had caught for Charlie then as well. And Charlie has not had an easy road in the majors at all. You know, a lot of injuries, a lot of different teams. The Astros picked him up about a year and a half ago. He's a big guy. He's 6'5". He's 33, though, 33 years old. And to see what he did, he's now this season tied for the team lead with 14 wins for the Astros. But what he did to clinch that World Series win was just phenomenal.
Indeed it was. Mm. I mean, he just another one of the great stories and this last stretch down. Now, another great stories. Well, there are a whole bunch of great stories happening in college football. And when we come back, we're going to get to talk to Jerry Palm. He is a college football analyst at CBS Sports. We're going to dive deeply into college football. We're going to ask Jerry, if the season were to end today, would be his top four teams for the college football playoff.
I can't wait to hear.
We'll be right back on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Jerry Palm, college football analyst of CBS Sports. Jerry, welcome into the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let me start by, I know you followed college football intensely. If the season were over today, we were selecting the teams for the college football playoff, who would be your four teams today?
Well, I think the committee would choose Georgia and Alabama, the two best undefeated teams. Mm-hmm. And then, well, honestly, if they were really choosing for the playoff today, I think Wisconsin and Miami would also get in because I don't believe they will leave out an undefeated major conference team. However, when the rankings come out tomorrow, I expect that Notre Dame and Clemson will be 3 and 4.
Because I guess there's almost an expectation that someone like Wisconsin's not going to win out. I mean, they have not played a tough schedule.
Well, they don't anticipate what's going forward. I mean, they're judging these teams based on what they've done so far. Wisconsin's schedule to this point has been pretty bad. So, you know, yeah, that's why they're down a little bit, even though they're undefeated. But they're going to get Iowa this week, coming off that huge win over Ohio State. They get Michigan the week after that, assuming they win the division, and we're not really talking about them if they don't. They'll get Ohio State most likely, or Michigan State in the Big Ten championship game. And so their schedule will get better, but only, you know, as much as anything, because it has to.
So, Jerry, after Week 10, where in the Big Ten specifically, they just beat each other up. Is Wisconsin really the only hope right now for the Big Ten? And do they need to remain undefeated? Could another, like a Notre Dame with one loss, you know, trump them in the college football playoff if they don't play anybody until, like, the Big Ten championship game?
Well, I don't believe this committee will ever leave out a major conference undefeated team. So if Wisconsin is 13-0, I think they will find a spot for them in the playoff. They may not be seeded ahead of all of the one-loss teams, and it's actually similar to the very first year when Florida State was undefeated and the only major conference undefeated team that year, but their schedule was not very good, and they ended up being seeded third in the playoff, but they did make it. And I think the same thing would happen for Wisconsin. But if Wisconsin were to lose, say, to Iowa this week, but still win the division and win the Big Ten, I don't think 12-1 Wisconsin makes the playoff.
We're talking to Jerry Palm, college football analyst of CBS Sports. So, Jerry, JT Barrett and Ohio State, incredible 1 week, huge fall the next. What happened?
Well, they came out flat. They didn't match Iowa's intensity. It's kind of weird because you would think it's not really the kind of thing you expect from a championship caliber team.
And an Urban Meyer team.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but really any team that's of championship caliber like Ohio State is, you expect them to know that they need to bring the same intensity week after week. You can't get too high after a win or too far down after a loss, but that's kind of what it looks like. JT Barrett throws a pick six on the very first play from scrimmage, and they just never recovered from that. Iowa had all the momentum,
yep,
and Iowa's good enough to take advantage of it. Iowa has a history of playing highly ranked teams well at home, and if you recall, Penn State needed a touchdown on the final play of the game to win at Iowa earlier this year. So it's no surprise that Iowa played well, but it is a very big surprise that Ohio State just was that flat.
Do you think Ohio State is still dealing with a hangover from losing Tom Herman, who was their offensive coordinator? Do you think this was part of JT Barrett's up-and-down season?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think the talent is still there. You know, that's still the most talented team in the Big Ten. I don't know that it's so much Tom Herman as it's just I think that these players don't have, you know, good chemistry together on that side of the ball in particular, but you know, the defense has also been kind of hit and miss. You know, Oklahoma went into Columbus earlier this year and scored in the 30s on them. Iowa just lit them up for 55. So the problems aren't all with the offense.
Yeah, good point.
We're talking to Jerry Palm, college football analyst of CBS Sports. So, Jerry, coming into the season, all these quarterbacks were so highly regarded, and it seemed like a number of them have had a fall. How do you evaluate the class today?
Well, I think they're still pretty good players. Baker Mayfield might actually be the leading candidate for the Heisman right now, but that actually seems to change week to week. That's probably
so
not good news for Baker Mayfield because it's almost like a jinx now that being the leading candidate for the Heisman. You know, Lamar Jackson, the defending Heisman Trophy winner, has had another spectacular year, but his team has not done as well. So he's not really, you know, got much of a chance to defend his title. You know, Sam Darnold is coming around after a rough start. Mason Rudolph is having a big year. I mean, there's still a lot of really good quarterbacks in college football, but their teams have not really collectively played as well as expected, with the possible exception now of Baker Mayfield. So I think that's kind of part of why the perception of the quarterback play is not as good.
And Jerry, staying with Baker Mayfield and the Oklahoma Sooners, so they're riding high after that big win at Bedlam over Oklahoma State, and now he's vaulting to the top of all the Heisman boards. Is Oklahoma the real deal, or are they really limited to how far their defense can take them?
Well, their defense tends to be a little bit of hit and miss, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go into Ohio State and hold that pretty prolific offense to 16 points in that win, but then they give up 52 to Oklahoma State, give up 38 to Iowa State, and Iowa State playing a backup quarterback at that time. So it's not been a consistent unit. And if they're going to be a playoff team or do well once they get to the playoffs, the defense is going to have to rise up to those occasions. And it actually starts this week. And TCU goes in this week, and that's essentially a game for the conference title of the regular season, and then they could meet each other again in the Big 12 championship game. But, you know, TCU has shown that they can win high-scoring games and low-scoring games. And so Oklahoma is going to have to see what they can do about making it a low-scoring game, at least for TCU.
We're talking to Jerry Palm, college football analyst of CBS Sports. So let's go to Georgia, undefeated still, not particularly tough schedule. They did have the win over Notre Dame. Do you think they have the wherewithal to make it to the Final Four?
They do, and this week is going to be really probably what decides that for Georgia. If they can go into Auburn and win, I think that Georgia has a very good chance of making the playoff. I have not had them in my playoff projections because I have expected Auburn to win this game, and I think Georgia's a slight favorite. But Auburn, obviously, tough at home, a good team, and they're going to have a lot to say about what happens here down the stretch in terms of the SEC championship and the playoff, because not only do they host Georgia this week, but in 2 weeks they get Alabama at home. So Auburn has a chance to win the SEC. They have a chance to mess up the playoff for the SEC. It'll be interesting to see what the Tigers do with this part of their schedule.
Yeah, they almost look like they get to play the role of a spoiler this year.
But they still control their own destiny for the SEC. So, you know, they spoil it for Alabama and Georgia, they're right in there themselves.
Yep, no, they could. They've got tough matchups to go the distance, though.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Jerry Palm, college football analyst of CBS Sports, thank you so much for joining us. This is the Boss and the Gloss. Thanks for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Love Jerry Palm. Great insight. Clearly, he has, you know, he lives and breathes college football. Something he said gives me cause to pause here. So when we're talking about Ohio State and their offense, you know, I questioned, you know, do you think they're just, we're seeing the tale of two JT Barretts, their quarterback. You know, last week against Penn State, he had 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter alone, was 13 of 13 in a really great 39-38 win over Penn State.
The best game he had ever played.
Clearly, I mean, he was perfect in the fourth quarter. Had a slow start, but wow, super talented. Vaults to the top of the Heisman boards.
Yep, he was the flavor of the week.
He was the flavor of the week, exactly. And so in this week, what do we see? We see 4 interceptions, you know, a pick six, first play of the game for JT Barrett. And what I said, you know, my question to Jerry was, are they missing Tom Herman, who was such an outstanding offensive coordinator for Ohio State when they won the national championship? And he said no. He said they still have so much talent. They're the most talented team in the Big Ten. Okay, that says to me, then this offense is not running how it should be. Because we are seeing a 4-interception JT Barrett 1 week and a 4-touchdown JT Barrett the next week. I mean, there is nothing in the middle. And I think that is a coaching situation. And he did mention a chemistry issue, but that's the coach's job. You got to deal with this chemistry issue. That's what an offensive coordinator does. What do you think?
You know, when you see a swing like that, it's awfully hard to pinpoint one thing. But I am sympathetic to the point that he's got the talent there. Mm-hmm. It's not like the talent went away week to week.
It is there, sure.
So there is something missing. And coaching, I mean, Herman got a lot of credit when things were going well there. Now he's gone and things went awry. They went off the rails this week. Sure, I'll put some of that on the coaching. I think that to get an offensive coordinator who can create more consistency in the quarterback position is often a key ingredient.
And the defense allowing 55 points to be put up is pretty rough, too.
Tough week.
So there's, yeah, some before work to
we,
be done.
Before we move on from college football, though, I need to ask your latest perspective on the Heisman Trophy. I am now on the Baker Mayfield bandwagon. I've jumped on. I think Mayfield's going to get the Heisman. I think he's electric. I think he's one of the most enjoyable quarterbacks to watch. I think he's really fun, and he's taking the Sooners to another level.
You know, he is, but I will say, to give you credit, you have always been on in Baker Mayfield's camp. You just have now vaulted him to the Heisman boards, but that's fair.
Yes.
When you put up that kind of offense and do what you did this past weekend, he deserves to be there. You know, I'm a big Bryce Love fan, as you know. I think he has, up until this game against Washington State this past weekend, he was averaging almost 200 yards, you know, leading rusher in the NCAA. and against Washington State was held to 69 yards, with 52 of those being in a one touchdown run.
And a great touchdown run, that 52 yarder. He was breaking tackles, but
and
limited the rest
first
of the
game
way.
Back. First game back after an ankle injury. So I don't know. I'm not ready to take him off my board yet. I'm definitely not going to jump on your train yet. So
I know you've been resistant. We're going to come right back, and we're going to have the famous He Said, She Said segment. You're listening to The Boss and Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back to The Boss and the Gloss, and we have an update from Lambeau. Our man Chuck Friedman is on the ground. Chuck, what's happening between the Packers and the Lions?
Well, the Packers are driving right now. They're faced with a 3rd and 12 at the Detroit 25-yard line, but so far today it's been all Lions. Matthew Stafford is on the day, 12 of 14 for 137 yards. They're just picking apart the Packer defense, just methodically moving downfield. The last drive, 13 plays, 91 yards, that covered nearly 7 minutes. And a touchdown run of 4 yards by Amir Abdullah put the Lions up 14-0 with 2:47 to go. So the Packers are trying to get off a field goal here in the final seconds with no timeouts left. And the Packers and Lions are going to go to halftime. And the Lions, yep, the Packers just hit a field goal. Short field goal try by Mason Crosby, a rushed one at the horn here from 35 yards out. And that puts the Packers on the board, which was pretty much a dismal first half of the Packers offensively. Brett Hundley making his second NFL start. He was 12 of 16 passing in that first half for 72 yards. Very conservative play calling, as it's been here in the first half. Packers on the board. Lions lead it at halftime, 14-3.
Thank you, Chuck Friedman from Lambeau Field. So now we have this award-winning, highly acclaimed segment, the He Said, She Said feature. In fact, some people just sit through the whole show waiting for this moment, the feature of the He Said, She Said feature.
What did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on The Boss and the Gloss.
And at this moment, we look at some important luminaries around the world of sports said this week. And the first one I'm going to come up with is Richie Incognito. Oh, and he's the lineman in the NFL who does not like Thursday night football. Let's hear what Richie had to say.
It's tough, man. These Thursday night games, they suck. They throw a wrench in our schedule. It's absolutely ridiculous that we have to do this. As physical as this game is, and as much work and preparation that goes into this to force us to play games on 4-day weeks, it's completely unfair. And you know, whatever, the league makes money off of it, and that's all they care about anyway. So,
ooh, he didn't hold anything back there. That's all the league cares about anyway, is making money. He said
he never holds anything back. Here's the problem with what Richie Incognito said.
Okay.
He's actually right. I don't want to admit that, but he is right. That is a super tough turnaround when you've got the NFL that's doing so many things, limiting how many practices you can have in pads, you know, limiting OTAs, all of this. And then they're allowing you on 4 days rest, not allowing you, making you, to travel and to play on short rest and things like that. He is right about that. That is a lot to ask these players whose bodies really need full recovery time. Here's a reason it shouldn't be coming out of Richie Incognito's mouth. He has not earned the cred.
You want a better spokesperson for the cause.
Well, first of all, he was on the losing team last Thursday night. You know, he plays for the Buffalo, and they lost to the Jets. It was an upset, 34-21. I don't want to hear from the loser. Of course you're mad about anything that's going to happen. So if he was on the winning team, I would put more credibility in it. You know, secondly, he has been a pariah in the league. If you remember,
indeed,
he was unemployed for about a year and a half after he was with the Dolphins and was bullying, you know, outside lineman, offensive lineman Jonathan Martin. He harassed him with racial slurs and then lovely sexual taunts about his mother and sister. And the guy quit the team. You know, he left. So it's just hard for me to listen to Richie, even though what he says is very true. He's not the right spokesperson for this.
Duly noted.
There we go. All right, now I've got one for you, David.
Okay.
So this is Mike Leach, the mad scientist who coaches the Washington State Cougars.
Love to hear what Mike Leach is going to say.
Not only the mad scientist, but the mad, literally angry mad former coach of Texas Tech who is still trying to squeeze money out of them. He did not take kindly to a reporter calling him out. Let's hear what he had to say.
I'm curious about something. I realize you're a very busy man, first of all, but was there any particular reason this teleconference started nearly 40 minutes late?
Yeah, because I had other obligations and I got here 40 minutes late. So, you know, fortunes of war. We're way up north here and this is a tough place. And so that's the way it happens sometimes. But so, you know, I hope you feel better accommodated next time.
Okay. I'm curious about have you decided who your starting quarterback is going to be this coming week?
Well, my. I wasn't 40 minutes late. It sounds like you may have been 40 minutes late. That was the first question I answered in this press conference.
I've been listening, trying to listen very carefully. Did you announce who your quarterback is going to be?
Yes, I did. The very first question in the press conference, and you can go back and review it on the computer.
Well, my. Those are the words we heard from Mike Leach. And I guess this is a lesson. Don't be 40 minutes late.
Listen, he had every right. I think Mike Leach is a little cray-cray, but he had every right to call out that reporter. That you do not throw shade at a coach that you're trying to interview and get information from. And you go, Mike Leach.
Well, you don't mess with Mike Leach.
No, gosh.
In fact, just even trying is likely, even if you are right, even if you got a better position, there's likely no gain, no glory from getting down in the trenches with Mike Leach.
Mm-mm. That was something else. Okay, I've got another winner for you. This might be my favorite one of the week.
Okay.
So this is Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Jameis Winston giving his players a pregame, very motivational, interesting speech.
I want everybody to look at me. I'm going to pass it to coin after I say one thing.
Let's go. Let's go.
That's a W. Let's eat one. Let's eat one. That's a W. How many people want to eat a W tonight? How many eat a W tonight? Yeah. Come in.
Okay, so just to be clear, what he was doing while he was saying, I'm getting a W, is he was eating his fingers.
He was licking his fingers.
Licking his fingers down so that you had three fingers that made a three-pronged W, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And it was very motivational. It looked like his teammates were just...
They were horrified.
They were fired up. They loved it. They felt the passion. I mean, when somebody bites their own fingers, what better way to motivate you?
Oh, my gosh. What isn't wrong with that pregame speech?
See, I'm afraid that for the Buccaneers, that the whole Winston experiment's just not going to work out. Look at what's happened here. And look what went on and happened after that game. After that incredible speech, Winston, of course, gets injured, leaves the field. And then the last mark he makes, the last thing we see of him, he's tapping Lattimore on the back of his shoulder, taunting Marshawn Lattimore, the cornerback of the Saints, the very, very good cornerback of the Saints, a guy who went number 11 overall, the guy who has really made a difference in that Saints defense. And there's Winston on the sideline, at this point somewhat of a bust, tapping on Lattimore's back as if, you're not doing enough, Lattimore. I'm Jameis Winston. I'm better than you. What's all that? And that, of course, led to then...
Well, it led to a huge disaster.
A big cat fight out on the field.
Because Mike Evans, wide receiver for Tampa Bay, turns around and sees Lattimore pushing Winston. You know, doesn't see where this all came from. And then Mike Evans, I mean, he lands a blindside hit from behind, a rough one, on Marshawn Lattimore. And today he was suspended a game. You know, I don't know how Mike Evans didn't get ejected, but honestly... I'm not even as upset with Mike Evans as I am with Jameis Winston. It's like, listen, you are, sadly, the leader of this Tampa Bay Bucs team. And he is injured, and he's going to be out for a while now. But that is not how you lead, on the sidelines, poking other players. And that example just, he's obviously frustrated. The Tampa Bays are having the Buccaneers are having a miserable season, and it's in no shortage to Jameis Winston's interceptions.
It's striking to me. I can't think of a quarterback in all the years I've been watching the NFL who would go up and taunt a defensive back from the sideline as he did to tap him on his shoulder.
Unbelievable.
I just don't know that I've ever seen that.
Well, you know, this is what we know to be true with Jameis Winston is the maturity factor. You know, you saw that right before his draft a couple years ago, he was caught stealing crab legs out of a Publix grocery
That's
store.
That's right.
And so what does he do on draft night when he goes as the number one pick? He's in front of a platter of crab legs laughing. And it's just, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just so immature. And he's still showing the same character traits. Hard to lead a team at this level with that level of maturity.
All right, we are in the midst of the famous He Said, She Said segments. We've had words from Richie Incognito, of all people, with a lot of beep, beep, beeps, where his words were cut out. By the way, we've never had to do that to you, Carla. Thanks for keeping it clean.
Let's hope we keep it that way. Since I'm working with my boss, I really, really like to keep my job.
Mike Lynch, Jameis Winston. Now, we're going to end our last one of these four. We're going to end on a happy note after all that drama. We're going to end up with an hour of romance. We're going to hear a beautiful, beautiful proposal.
And right now, I'm about to take another big step in my life. Daniela Rodriguez. You make me the happiest man in the world. Will you marry me?
Oh my god.
Yes. It goes like this.
That's Carlos Carrera proposing right after the World Series victory. She sounded happy.
She's happy. And do you know, let's set the stage a little bit. He was being interviewed.
Yes, he was.
And he walked to the side. It wasn't like the interview was over. He kind of brought the interviewer over to the crowd.
He wanted the cameras to go with him.
Yes, he did.
He wanted this shown to the world.
And he did not. I heard that he did not have a plan B. If she had said no, or the Astros had not won the World Series, there was no plan B.
Do you think she had a choice? It would have been like Incognito's recording. Beep, 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 beep. I mean, this would have been a disaster.
No, I think it worked out great for both of them. That was really sweet. She was obviously very excited, and they caught her on camera later showing the jewels and all of that good stuff. But
was the ring
he's a confident guy?
Well, was the ring worthy of the proposal? Were you? I mean, you have a better perspective of jewelry than any of us here.
Well, you would think, but since I've followed sports all my life, not so much, honestly. But even I can tell in my really not very well versed in jewelry. That thing was quite something. Quite something.
Well, so in the He Said, She Said segment, we're really looking for notable words, messages that came out during the course of the week. So her answer, the one word I wanted to hear was yes. I thought,
didn't quite get that. We got a, oh my God.
Yeah, there was a lot of affirmation, but never just a yes.
Right. Don't you think as a man, don't you want the yes?
I want the yes.
Well, he asked. He was like, yes. I mean, he wasn't even sure.
He wanted to make sure.
I don't
know. Now, she was
him.
Smiling. She was jumping up and down. She was practically in tears. She was all.
But her face was in her hands. And so when the crying starts, as a man, you have to make sure that crying is a happy cry.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I'd like it to be. None of that beep, beep, beep.
Right. Oh, that was good for him.
Well,
good
and then the him. Other big yes, if we're doing She Said, was Kate Upton this week saying yes to Justin Verlander in the wedding. They are now married. I will tell you one little funny Kate Upton story. She's showing up at all these games. She's coming in jeans and a T-shirt. She looks
and
so
she
much
is into it. I love it.
Oh, and she looks just like the girl next door who turned out for the game. We love seeing her. I came home and I told my wife, I said, boy, Kate Upton's such a girl next door. My wife said, well, actually, have you seen the Kate Upton in the swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated? My wife knew. She educated me on Kate Upton's history.
You know.
I had no idea. I thought she was just that jeans and a T-shirt girl next door. She's done her
cover
thing.
Cover the 2017 issue.
She looks great in a bikini.
Yes, that's no doubt.
All right. On that note, we'll be right back to wrap up the second hour. You're listening to the Boston Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gow and Carla Dawson.
I know our show is coming to a close, but the night is young.
The night is young.
Anything could happen now.
I know. I feel energized. I got my second wind.
You know what happens, Ashley, when I go home after the show is it's hard for me to go to sleep because I've been so
amped up
by the show.
Right.
So I'm amped up by some big events coming up this week. Mm-hmm. Actually, there are some games I'm really looking forward to. The one I'm going to be watching, OU versus TCU. I'm now out of the closet as a huge fan of Baker Mayfield. I think he's fun to watch. I think he's electric. He's my Heisman Trophy pick at the moment. Obviously,
just don't go out of the closet with Baker Mayfield. Then I'll be worried.
Duly noted. But I think that's a big matchup. TCU will give OU some real – I mean, that'll be a challenge. It's at home for Oklahoma. Oklahoma's got to be the favorite. But that's a good matchup and the big, big, Big 12 matchup.
And they might see each other again in the Big 12 title game, which is back after many years of not having one, which is exciting. I'm looking forward to Michigan State, Ohio State next week, because that could determine the Big Ten East title. And both those, you know, we never know what we're going to see with Ohio State.
Okay, so I'll take your Michigan State, Ohio State, and I'll raise you Auburn, Georgia. That's a big matchup in
it's
the SEC.
One, because Georgia could really surprise that. Well, they're not going to surprise them. They've been tough all year.
I know. At this moment, I would have to pick Auburn. I think Auburn pulls it out. I think Georgia takes a fall. I just think we haven't seen Georgia play anybody of any significance other than Notre Dame.
But Auburn against Texas A&M this past weekend, very slow start. And it wasn't until about 2 minutes left in the first half, they kicked it in gear, and then they never looked back.
So now I understand you have a little present for me with 1 minute remaining in the show.
Well, I'm going to actually save that for next week, but I have a question for
you. Okay.
So in the college, we're going to get the new rankings tomorrow, week two of the college football playoff.
Yes.
With the first rankings coming out, well, the second rankings coming out tomorrow, can you name the five teams that have made the college football ranking every single year? So it's been 4 years in the making, and five teams have been in, not the top four, but have in the been in the college football playoff system every year.
Wow. That's
and
a great
trivia. You can easily get a couple of them.
Well, we got to go with Alabama. Yep. We can go with Clemson, Auburn.
No Auburn.
Not Auburn.
Think about...
I would go Oklahoma. Oh, you want to go down to Florida?
Florida State.
Really? Florida State?
Two
well,
more.
All right. Well, that's impressive. You're going to have to tell us. We got 5 seconds.
Okay. One's going to surprise you. Ohio State, not surprising. Utah.
Utah, surprise. Thanks so much for joining us on SB Nation Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.